Johnny, do you want to go to an ice cream social?
I do.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Great, let's go.
That makes one of us.
Time for Matt and Madden's Ice Cream Social. Sitting across from me is Paul Madden.
Across from me is Mr. Matt Donnelly.
The Knobs and Dials. The very energetic, life-loving Jacob the Audio Guy.
Love that guy.
We're preaching fun. Guys, welcome to the Executive Episode.
Episode.
Ooh, the Episode.
Executive Episode.
Executive Episode. We are balling in a fucking man. Real fancy pants conference
room. We've got a conference room. We got chairs. We got a big table.
We are.
There's a whiteboard. There's a whiteboard.
We're going to get a collection of muffins and a tin of coffee for $250. We're going to get that set up right outside the door.
Nice. I do love a tin of coffee.
So you missed out on that event.
Oh, that's right. You did the event.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So it was good.
We didn't talk about this.
It was all right.
Yeah.
But we did it last time. You remember how it went. And for me, with my group,
yeah,
it was a little going through the motions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they knew what was coming. I knew what I was delivering. We were ready.
Was it the same group going a second time
new
through?
People.
New people.
New
they were
people.
Giving a heads
new
up
clients.
On the people who had done
but
it.
They, but yes, exactly. They knew what was up.
So tell the scoops what the event
so
is.
So essentially, we were doing training in empathy and management style
when
dealing with crises.
Yeah.
Ooh,
so
crises.
At times we were playing managers. At times we were playing employees, vice versa with the employees and managers there that showed up at the event.
Managers were employees, employees were managers. It was a magical time.
It was great, and we were there to just set up scenarios in which their leadership abilities would be tested, the way that they dealt with the questions and crises that came up. We also focused on their body language as well as their demeanor and tone to make sure that they were handling this thing in an empathetic and caring way.
And basically, so as an actor, you're there as an expert in empathy and body language.
That's exactly right.
So when you say they're dealing with crises, you're teaching them how to deal with like an active shooter.
Let's
or
do this.
Anthrax.
Let's do the role, Jacob.
Okay.
I'm coming to you as an employee.
Great.
You are my boss.
Great.
I am going to hit you with what we call a crisis moment.
Great.
All right. So I'm coming in.
Good.
You deal with this how you would.
Good evening, Mr. Mattingly. How are you today?
I'm not. Things are... It's been very, very hard.
Active shooter!
No, that's not what... Anyway. Okay.
He's got a gun!
Okay. So that would have been a red flag.
That would have been... What was your critique on you?
OTT.
Oh, you were a little OTT.
Over the top.
You're a little OTT.
And then we came to find out that I was not over the top.
No.
That's exactly the way people act.
Yes.
People are insane. And I was dead on. So anyway.
You made a great. We were teaching an improv workshop. You brought up that similar point in an improv workshop. We talked about people being afraid to play big characters, and you were like, "Go to Walmart at 3 a.m."
That's tell my me. Classic example.
Because that's actually like a probably apocryphal Philip Seymour Hoffman story of Philip Seymour Hoffman being told he was overacting in an acting class, and it was in New York, and he was like, "Go out on the streets right now and walk around and listen and look at people and tell me right now if you think you can't find someone who's." Behaving the way I'm behaving.
And he's dead right. And well, that's the thing that I always challenge him. I was like, but you have to bring humanity to those obscene things. Of course, he was brilliant at that.
Yes.
You have to bring humanity to a character that is stretching out like that. But that's the thing. Go to Walmart at 3 a.m., walk around. Those
and
are
tell
real
those people. They're brilliant.
Those are real people. Those are real people. Yeah. But you're not going to be able to create a three-dimensional character more bizarre and yet real than those entities. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Salt pork is our calling card.
Because of my late night Walmart run.
Right.
Because of an insane woman driving around in a rascal with headphones on screaming for salt pork.
Right.
At 3 a.m.
Well, I mean, how many times do we just talking to each other say, oh, this thing happened or, we heard about this thing happening or whatever. And then we say, if we wrote that into a script, no one would believe it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, especially living in Vegas. Any big city, you get some stories. You're like, what the fuck?
No, just everything is so over the top.
But humanity is
like Stallone.
Bizarre.
So anyway, Las Vegas, you're a little OTT.
So anyway, the workshop went pretty well. But then one of our guys got in a group where one of the dudes that was participating was just like, I'm not doing this. this is not real. I'm not doing it. And they're like, well, he's like, what?
You're not real, man.
He's like, this is all phony baloney. I'm not doing it. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I mean, if no one wants to do it, that makes your day a lot easier.
Right. But anyway, the one guy's just like, this is bullshit. Stupid. And it's just like, well, you're clearly the worst manager that ever was.
This is the manager.
Yeah. This is one of the guys.
And he's like, is he in this workshop with employees? Or are they all managers?
They're all different level. At some point, I should clarify, it's not necessarily managers, just managers. They all work for IT. So it's...
I'm just wondering, are there people in this group that are seeing him do this that work for him?
I'm sure.
That's terrible.
Yeah, because they break down into small pods.
Right.
Depending on the project. You know, yeah. And they, you know, it's like, oh, okay, for these next 3 months, this is who's working on this thing. And,
yeah.
You know, they, and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of changey switchy.
I'll tell you, because SJ did this too. SJ was another.
SJ handled it great.
I'm sure. Yeah. She deals with people pretty well.
Was he in your group or was he in a different person's group?
A different person's group.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't in my
group. Not in SJ's group.
How did that person handle it?
Wasn't in SJ's group. Just pulled the cord and talked about it.
Okie dokie.
Like, okay, well, let's talk about this. And it just, you know, whatever. But.
Because again, we've it's just all worked for person. Different organizations that do different versions of workshops. And one organization I work for, like you'd never, the corporate speak would be demo, right? You never make someone demonstrate in front of other people. Like they're not there to do a public speaking course. They're there to work on skills.
Right.
So what you do is you, even isolate. In a large group, you just have them partner up and you have them all do the exercises at the same time.
Yep.
And then you eavesdrop and then also let them give you feedback from their partners and no one's ever on the spot in front of other people. And also that same organization, this is Business Propositions, Bob Cullen's company, who I love working for.
Yeah.
Usually when they pitch a company, they start with managers and do just managers they send in one instructor to do all the managers. And then say, we're going to bring in a bunch of instructors to do your teams. You're welcome to participate with your teams or not.
Right.
You know, and it's a way to like get past that barrier.
Yeah.
Of like, no boss who doesn't act wants to get up in front of their employees and act.
Right. And everybody has to get on the spot for a minute. It's very unnerving.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so easy to just, everything will be okay. Goodbye. You know, like it's not hard to just be like, whatever
especially,
you say.
Yeah, especially that where you have a manager who has to play a manager hearing a crisis thing. Like, all he already
is,
does this.
Yeah, all that says is everything's going to be fine. We're going to take care of you. You're going to be fine.
Yeah.
We're going to get, we'll take the leave take, you need.
Yeah.
Do whatever you got to do.
Ah, rabid porcupine.
Right, but it's not. But in the real deal.
I got to open my mail. Fuck, anthrax.
Yeah, who knows. But anyway, so it was interesting, but got through it.
Half the building fell on the other half of the building.
Made that sweet jack.
But I'll tell you, SJ did this.
No, you didn't, actually. In 2 months, you'll make that sweet job.
Yeah, maybe. Right. Maybe.
She was telling another performer in town who also works for Southern Wine and Spirits about this. And our friend Christine was like, that's the most brilliant thing ever. Because we don't think about it, but all of these people, none of them can talk to each other.
Well,
the premise of the training is very valid.
The premise of the training is valid, and the training itself is valid. I think there can be adjustments, like you said, where it can be a little more isolated, whatnot. But it is shocking.
And the trainers could get paid
shocking
on a time
when
matter.
You get into, because we're in the creative field.
Yeah.
And we have been for so long, and especially with improv.
Yeah.
You're just laid bare all the time.
Yeah.
And how, I mean, it's not been that long since I've been in a workshop where someone just eviscerated me.
Right.
In front of my peers. Like,
right.
Just on an emotionally raw level.
Just let you have it.
Just let me have it. And I'm just like, okay.
Literally, to carve Paul.
Carve me in half. Yeah. There are bits of my flesh flayed away.
I feel like you had it coming.
But it's shocking how many people have never experienced that kind of raw emotion on their own, let alone in front of a group.
Right. Right. When they have something on the line.
Yeah.
No, and like, even like, as, you know, we're passionate improv people, but like the interactive elements.
Are you referring to me yelling yesterday?
We are very passionate improv people. We're very passionate.
But you did yell yesterday.
We should say we're in Pittsburgh.
We're in a boardroom at the AC Hotel.
Yeah, they were kind enough to let us use a boardroom.
Spread on the way.
Yes.
Yep.
Just loving life in this. We're in a conference room that's just simply not occupied on a Sunday.
Yeah.
It would be very expensive on a regular day.
Yeah. I just called them up and said, you have a spot where we can do this thing? And they said, yes.
You can have this room. Very accommodating.
Because they're in hospitality.
They are.
We could never get this.
It's been amazing.
And we made them a lot of money the last couple of days. I mean, that I'm sure that helped.
Yeah.
They got a few rooms booked through us.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Pittsburgh has been fantastic. This whole event has been fantastic.
And we have a handful of scoops here.
And we have the organizers of the event here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, they did a fantastic job. Well done, guys. Everybody who I've spoken to has just loved it. But yeah, you guys did you guys taught an improv workshop yesterday.
Which I was so tired of.
Steel City Improv.
You were exhausted.
But also, like, well, here's the thing.
I slept a lot on the
plane. I used to teach at a lot of improv festivals, and I used to go out and get hammered at every one of them. So every time I'm super tired to go teach, I'm like, this is still nothing compared to how I used to always teach. Like, and I would keep getting
hung over and in pain.
Yeah. So I still had some magic in there. But I just was like, forever tired I am. I'm not like throbbingly hungover.
Right. You still brought it. It didn't show up in the exercises. It wasn't like you're like, okay, guys.
All right. I wasn't paying attention. Can you do it again?
Yeah. One more time. What was that?
Yeah.
No, but I get feisty when I'm teaching improv sometimes.
Yes. That's where I was like, oh, yeah, because we had listeners who took in the workshop, and then Justin, who runs the theater and also listens, and I was like, oh, yeah, people don't know Teacher Paul. Like, I've known Teacher Paul
right
for a while. So, like, what was happening with you wasn't surprising me at all. And then I was like, oh, wait, everyone just knows Paul is, like, cute, cuddly, toy-collecting Paul. And I was like, improv teaching Paul's a passionate, angry man.
Yes. It's weird. And I get so upset when I see it bad. Because I've seen so much terrible improv. So much terrible improv. And it just makes me insane.
And it boiled like, it was like a total like perfect storm of like set you off stuff. Where like there's two very shy people who kept waiting to go last in every round. Which normally you have to like, and if you don't teach that often, you forget to sniff that out.
And
you're like,
but
let the two shies go together.
Well, right. but I also, you know, at the top of the class, I always let them know, be the first ones up on stage, jump up. Everybody should always want to be volunteering. First ones up always get a pass. Go, jump.
Yeah.
I let them know, but go ahead.
I told them.
You two people just go like, I don't want to do, like, I want to stop.
Like, yeah. I was like, wait, did you just apologize to the audience for doing improv? Is that what just happened? Did you seriously just do that? Oh my God, I'm so angry right now.
It was so, for a guy who doesn't have kids, that was so parental. It was like, wait, let me get these details straight before I explode. Did this happen? Yes. What the fuck?
I was so, so mad. Because that's a cardinal rule. You never, because you've abandoned your own scene. You've said fuck you to your partner.
Oh, yeah.
And you've said, I am not worthy of even being on this stage.
Yeah.
Well, then get out. get out.
This is Teacher Paul. You hear this guy?
I'm done. Uh-huh. If you don't want to do this, no one has you tied to any bars. Walk.
So for all you scoops out there who are like, oh, I didn't get to take the improv workshop, this is what you missed out on.
I feel like this is an excellent opportunity to mention the Patreon level where you can come to Vegas and take an improv class.
Yes, please. You know you want to be berated
by me. I was going to say, if you were holding back because there wasn't enough self-loathing involved. No. Pull the trigger.
If you were holding back because you thought the experience would be pleasant.
A select group that has come for coaching, we get a slightly different treatment. But you're not going to be exempt.
Yeah, I think like we'll start a little later. That'll help.
That will help.
8 a.m.
Anything later helps.
Anything later will help. Yeah. But I also loved it because like my exercise involves like as long as you make aggressive choices, then my exercise worked.
Yeah.
And so everyone was so, so dialed in.
When ready
I
to
took
make
over,
moves.
I was like, oh, I'm going to look like the nicest person because you guys are all dialed in and I don't have to shout at you to like, make a choice. Just do anything. I don't have to do that speech.
Because that's it. Because the exercise I was teaching, it's just, it gives you three options.
Yeah.
You grab as many as you can of those three to come in with a physicality, a vocalization, or an emotional choice. And yeah, it's just, and yet, so many people just walk on blank. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Change your voice. It will help you so much. Oh, God damn it. Improv, yeah. You fucking weird thing. It's so weird. It is so weird because I've been at this for so goddamn long.
Yes.
And I still don't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't fully understand it.
Yeah.
I know I'm good at it.
Right.
I don't know exactly why.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. There are a few things I'm certain about in this world. That's one of them. My improvisational skill. But
good. I'm glad you think so.
That and the love of Ann McPheeters. Those are the two things that I'm sure about in this world. How about that, Snake? Huh? Big bonus points. Yeah.
We can take credit for it right away.
No, she knows. She's listening and rolling her eyes already. Anyway, so I'm just doing what how it'd be.
I just felt her roll her eyes.
But it's just, you know, it's so fascinating. Like everybody has a slightly different approach, and every there's so many schools of thought.
Yes, and again, like all of it is just to unlock fluid creativity. You know,
right?
So like I think because even like back when we taught in Vegas, people used to be like, you guys don't agree. It's hard to have you both as teachers because you guys don't agree on stuff.
What are you talking about?
Then how the fuck have we done improv with each other for 10 years?
Yeah. Have you seen us on stage together? We agree on a lot of shit.
And we know what's going on every day.
Yeah. We're all
safe. So I was just like, I said, I guess the mistake you're interpreting is that you think I think that what I'm teaching is the only way
right.
to do things. And right. I don't think yeah. that.
I came up indoctrinated in group mind.
Yeah.
You came up with the UCB groundlings-ish stuff, which is...
Find the game.
Character and game. And I have come to much more embrace that.
Oh, sure.
That is much more where I believe it's the truth. Like I said, after reading more Napier and working with that guy
yes.
in the actual flesh, he is absolutely my guru as far as improv goes. I have found no yeah. voice that makes more sense to me as far as how this shit works than his.
Yeah.
And he is, in my opinion, dead right that you must first and foremost be taking care of yourself as a performer on that stage. Otherwise, you cannot help anyone else. And I think that's as true on the stage as it is in life. You have to make sure that your shit is in proper order before you can go start, you know, helping other people.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing.
Ah, meteor.
Well, fix that first, Jacob, before you try helping anybody.
Yeah, I'm going to.
All right, good.
I want to hear about your cancer situation, but I have to stop this meteor first. Before I can help you, I got to help me. You know what I mean, guys?
Yep. Yeah. Got to take care of me.
Anything you need, you'll be fine. We'll get you 2 weeks off. It's great.
I mean, the meteor's coming, so maybe it won't be two full weeks. But yeah.
Well, it depends on where it hits.
That's true.
Yeah.
Within my power, you have 2 weeks off. Should the meteor strike our city, you have less than that time.
And if you want to withdraw from your 401k, we can make that happen too. Just consider the meteor.
I also just like you should be able to get a manager over if someone goes like, nope. Like,
right. Well, that was the thing. They were like, in future, they wrote a whole thing.
Yeah. Oh,
after a post-mortem. They're like,
yeah.
In future, should someone fully refuse to do the exercise, please let somebody else running the thing know.
Right.
And we'll address that as need be and that kind of thing. And it was just, but ridiculous. Yeah.
Look. If everybody can keep a secret, we'll all say we did the exercise and learned. But we can just talk about fantasy football right now. All of us can just talk about fantasy football.
I draft Peyton Manning.
I do that with sitting down. Like we're just like make sure the game gets on their feet, keep the energy in the room, keep them on their feet the whole time. And that just is like you just watch people just start to like basically just look around them because you move all the chairs to the side, you know?
Yeah. Oh,
God. And all of a sudden people are standing and stuff and they just start looking at the chairs. And as soon as that happens, I go like, okay, listen. Guys, focus up. We get through this exercise. Everybody commits to this exercise. Gives me 100%. We sit down for the next two exercises. And then everyone's like totally in.
Yeah.
And I sit for two exercises.
Motivation's important, man. Motivation's important. And, you know, 3 hours of improv exercise is not easy.
No, and seven people sitting there for
Thank God
for
we broke it up in half.
Yeah, we were talking today about how sore all of our knees are today.
We're such old men.
I know.
It's gross. My fucking left knee, I twisted the shit out of it at work a couple months ago.
It's like, guys, listening at home, you guys don't understand. We had to stand up a lot yesterday
I slipped
and talk to people and have pleasant conversations for so long.
We've been standing and having a nice
rain,
time.
Blood money.
And coming here on the airplane, that knee was like, fuck you. Right up against the damn chair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
some
yeah.
asshole moved their armrest real sudden and got me.
Oh.
And so it was like a whole, it's just been... is not happy.
No.
Airplane's not.
Southwest is not your jam.
Well, Southwest is usually is my jam, actually. Okay. But it's just not.
The sincerity of that was amazing. Southwest usually is my jam.
I normally love Southwest.
I love it like that. All that white boy trying to be street talk for like a Southwest ad.
Yeah.
Southwest is my jam. Oh, get me in that hissy, please.
That please name.
The Rapid Reward Program is dope.
Totally dope.
Seriously dope.
Thank you for the peanuts.
Well, they didn't give me peanuts.
What did they give you?
Me plain cookies.
Oh, that's right. We had weird plain cookies.
They were great.
They're delicious. They're like those cinnamon.
I thought it was funny that they were called plain cookies. They were clearly cinnamon cookies in the shapes of planes. But still, if someone's like, would you like some plain cookies? Like, sure.
Yeah.
You're expecting maybe a shortbread?
Or like an animal cracker?
Right.
Ooh, an animal cracker.
Animal cracker's about as plain as a cookie gets, unless it's frosted.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. You know,
even frosted, you're still like, why did I commit to this?
No. You haven't had the mother's animal crackers.
Would you call me?
I thought that Tim talking about Southwest was going to be the most serious thing that he talked about today. And then he moved to frosted animal crackers.
We just got in turf war right now.
Have you had those?
Have I had frosted animal crackers?
Mothers.
The specific brand Mothers?
Yes.
Or are you threatening me right now?
I'm talking about the Glenn Danzig song.
Oh, why don't you have some of your Mother's
crackers.
Cookies, huh?
Mother, would you like an animal cracker?
Would you like to frost my elephant right now?
Have you had them?
No.
Mother!
No.
Where do you buy them?
The grocery store.
Then no.
Or Wally Town. Walmart's got them.
Okay.
You get these for your
Wally
kids.
Wally Town, is that you or is that a common?
I don't know.
Then it's a you. That's a you thing.
You think? Wally Town from Walmart? No, not normal?
I'm asking you.
I don't know.
Oh, Wally Town? I have seen those.
Wally World, Wally Town?
The pink.
That's it.
The pink package.
Well, we have people here. God. We have scientists here. Have you guys
Wally
ever
World.
Called Walmart Wally Town?
They call it Wally World.
Yeah.
Wally World.
Okay, so Wally Town is me.
There's a decisive no.
Please stick to the question. Don't bring in Wally World.
All right. So those fucking animal crackers.
This is a board meeting.
They're animal cookies, right? What are
Stay
they called?
Stay focused, guys.
I don't know. I've gotten off that.
Anyways, no.
Circus animal cookies.
Animal cookies.
I've had some brand of frosted animal crackers. My general animal cracker experiences are always tempting, and you eat them, and your brain says, that's going to taste like vanilla. And then you eat it, and you're like, nope.
Nope.
And then there's a lot of chew involved that gets dry, dusty chew.
They're gross.
Dry, dusty chew, by the way, is my wrestling name.
Fucking mothers. Speaking of wrestling, you heard about the crazy shit going on with the wrestling. So it's WrestleMania Day.
Oh, yes.
I'm hoping that later tonight we can actually catch some of that WrestleMania.
Okay.
Oh, I hope so.
But the Hall of Fame happens the day before.
Oh, I did see this.
So
I saw this on regular news.
Bret the Hitman Hart is delivering his Hall of Fame inductee speech.
Okay.
This made him in.
I'm all ears. This
he
is exciting
there.
News.
This made like the AP. This is on normal news.
He is there with Natalia, Jim the Anvil Neidhart's daughter.
Okay.
Jim just died.
Right.
Year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
Matt, is that about right?
And of course.
Checks out.
Good.
And of course, those two guys, along with the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart.
Yeah.
Were the Hart Foundation.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the dominant tag teams of our youth.
There we go.
Anyway, Bret the Hitman Hart, the excellence of execution.
And he's the one who left wrestling on that crazy, he destroyed kayfabe, basically, or changed it forever, right?
He had that moment, the screw job.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that is a big moment where the line between...
Just look up Screwjob. We actually talked about this in depth on another episode, so I don't want to go through it again.
We did.
And get criticized for talking about wrestling for too long.
No.
But this is news. We're talking about the news.
This is current events.
He's in the ring. They decided to do this in-ring thing this year.
Okay.
So it's in the ring in the center of the arena, and he's in the ring delivering a speech in a podium erected in the ring. Some
guy.
Jag-off. To be Pittsburghian, some jagoff
jumps through the ropes.
Stop
it.
Gets in and tackles him and Natalia to the ground.
Taxitalia?
Tackles them both to the ground.
Well, she kind of caught the crossfire.
Yeah, they all just, he just tackled them.
But she's
them
not
to
a wrestler,
ground.
Right?
Yes.
She is a wrestler?
Yeah, Jim D'Anvil Neidhart's daughter, Natalia, is a badass wrestler.
Oh, well, then she can take it. Yeah. Then I'm not.
She can take a bump. That's just some jerk coming in and.
Yeah, spoiler, everybody was okay except for one person. And that was the guy that jumped into the ring.
Anyway. So you know,
turns out,
you know shit's real.
This room filled with professional wrestlers.
You know shit's real when the screen goes black.
Oh,
feed goes out right on the network. WWE Network goes black.
Right.
What?
They cut back to crowd reactions. Just crowd reactions. It's out for like 5 seconds, and then it's just crowd going.
It's
everybody
like
standing
nothing
up. And
you're
looking.
Saying you can possibly describe it as not feeling like wrestling.
Oh,
like,
right. So exactly.
Like you can't.
Well, that's the thing. Everybody you must don't. Have just been sitting around thinking, like, is this?
But
is this real?
A,
is this?
This
what is,
a,
is this?
The front rows. Some of the front rows there. Yes, there are fans, but there are also in attendance hundreds of wrestlers.
Right.
And MMA fighters and people who beat other people. Professionally for a living. You got it there, Jacob?
I've got it here.
You got the, so this, the cell phone
yeah,
capture?
So this is somebody.
So this is
from
when they
the
get him drug right. out of the thing.
I'll describe what
and
I'm
there's
seeing.
A, there's like eight wrestlers dragging him
so this
away.
Is, this is Brett.
Oh, a guy came in. He's wearing like a fake Rasta hat.
Yeah. He looks like Rasta Banana.
Tackles him to the ground. And now he's surrounded by, he's surrounded by like 12 people beating him.
Yes. Yeah, but wait. When they get him out of the ring.
People are just rushing him.
There is one guy who's just like full on cocking back and just repeatedly punching him on the ground.
Well, he gets one.
Yeah.
It's
still going.
Separated it. Does it slowly get by the? Oh, he's getting beaten out of the ring.
Yeah,
punched out of the ring. He's being punched.
Does it cut to the camera feed?
This is all cell phone feed. This is all the cell phone.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not cutting out.
Yeah.
They're beating him from the ring to the ground.
Right.
They're getting him out of the ring via beating to the ground.
So he's getting walked off now. Right.
Now they're carrying him out.
Okay. Here you go.
And now other people are coming in.
And then
and
beating him again.
Like they've got it fully under control at this point.
To escort him out, and the seventh guy came in and just started beating him again.
Yep.
Did you see the one shot? There's a KO shot.
Oh, I don't know.
You didn't catch the KO shot.
No, this was all from above.
So then, even after all those beatings?
Now that I've watched that video, I am now fully convinced to not try to tackle a wrestler during a Hall of Fame ceremony.
Good.
I'm reformed.
But it's unbelievable.
I'm a new man.
I mean, Bret Hart is a legend.
Yes.
A legend.
Yes.
The best there is. The best there was, the best there ever will be.
And also comes from, you know, he had his own wrestling, like, training gym.
The Dungeon.
Yeah, up in Canada.
Yes, the Hart Dungeon in the basement. Stu Hart he wrestled so many people in that freaky little room.
And the thing to know about, like, to come up in wrestling, like,
it's a freaky little room.
It's all a show.
I believe
you. But when you come up in the world of wrestling, if you're new, people legitimately beat your ass to show you that, like,
you don't belong.
You
get jumped in.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Also, it's there's giant people.
Yeah,
it's not.
They have no regulation of steroids or
not
hormone.
You know,
they're allowed to just become as gigantic as
because
they want to get.
Because it's not a sport. They're not regulated.
That whole thing of like it's fake, but it's not that it's fake. It's not safe.
Yeah,
it's incredibly dangerous, risky athleticism.
Part of it is fake. The sport part of it is fake.
Here we go.
Because they're not
this
truly
is not the day, Jacob.
They're not truly competing.
Not this day.
We're going to Paul teacher mode, Jacob. Look out!
They're not actively competing, but
they're
the
not
part,
actively competing.
No.
Did you just say this is not a sport? This is not happening right now, is it?
Here's what you got to understand, Jacob.
But here's what they are doing. I'm going to pay them a compliment. Can I pay them a compliment?
Oh boy!
Let me pay them a compliment, Paul.
Let me see how
Jacob
pays
pay
them
a compliment. And Paul, please bitty bitty bump everything.
They are hyper athletic and can do that shit. And they are very.
Says what?
This is like when you talk to someone on the cell phone and you get that weird echo connection.
Big and strong.
Okay, so
it's just. Not, I mean, it's
here's the thing. Here's the argument I want to make for you to understand where the competitive nature truly is.
I'm sure they're very competitive and everything else.
The outcome of a certain match is likely predicted and set.
Yes.
Right.
Doesn't always play that way because of things that can happen in the ring.
Sure.
But most, I will grant you, are preset.
Right.
However, you got to understand that every time they get in there, they are competing for that next match.
They're working for their jobs.
So the better they do, the more dynamic, outrageous, and creative they can be, the better their chances of rising in the ranks and getting more exposure.
I mean, they're
becoming
competing in their jobs the same way that most people compete in their jobs.
Right.
Right. They just do it with more steroids.
So podcasting is a sport.
Right. Wait. No. Shit.
Yeah. Because we are always trying to do better, more outrageous than the next person. Everything. So, like, we bring on people who write
slash fiction. We're more of a sport than wrestling, yeah.
We bring on people who endanger their lives with their Airbnb choices. We don't care. We pull that trigger. We do that to gain rank.
Yep.
We literally risk the lives of our listeners. Their jobs, hey, their well-being.
Yep.
Wake up to the world. Walking out your front door is risking your life. So
that's our argument.
Take it on the chin.
Yeah. You know, I haven't seen everybody that stayed at the Wooden Fox.
We saw him. We caught him.
We did a head count.
I saw a handful of them.
We had a head count on Twitter and at the pinball place. So we had by the way, Paul, totally comfortable sending us to the wrong place this morning. Do you remember this?
Oh, yes.
So we get on the thing.
We're coming down the elevator.
Paul was originally the only person going to this pinball brunch. Jake and I were supposed to fly home. Turns out there is these two crashes by 737s.
Uh-huh.
And so therefore, all of planes are weird now, and we don't have a flight anymore. And so now we're leaving tonight. So we can go to this pinball brunch that Paul was fully supposed to go to on his own without us.
Right.
We get in the elevator to go, and I go, like, where are we going? And Paul goes, the pinball place. I was like, no, I know that, but we got to get
we got to put something into Uber, yeah.
where are we going? Paul's like, the pinball, flip something.
Yeah.
So I type
at
in
one point
flip.
He said paddle something.
So I type in flip, and four different businesses pop up. Four different businesses that begin with the word flip pop up, and I say all four names. And
the second one, he was like, oh, that's it.
Yeah, he goes, oh, yeah, Flip Cafe. And I'm about to hit it into Uber before he starts talking to his wife, who's in a car with his sister, her sister coming by. And Paul goes, what's the name of the place? And it's not Flip Anything.
No.
It was not. Paul did not know the name of the place.
It's the Kickback Cafe.
Kickback Cafe.
You got the cafe part right.
Paul was totally content to authoritatively tell us to go to the wrong place. We're about to get an Uber and go to the wrong place.
Who would have figured it out?
Like when we got there and it wasn't there.
There are no pinball machines or scoops
this is
here.
Not it. This is definitely not it.
Place would have been like Ohio.
Out. It worked out great. Everything worked out great.
Yeah, all thanks to Paul.
Yeah, it's see,
true. It's true. but yeah, no, I love. That's crazy. That is crazy.
Well, okay. That what you didn't see was that last thing where they're dragging him. They almost got him towards the like exit ramp area. Or they're getting and one guy just comes up,
bow, jacks
and
him.
He is out, hits the floor, and they all just have to just carry this limp body sack for the rest of the way. He's just done.
Is wrestling, because you know a few years ago,
keep talking, Jacob. Dig a hole. Today's not the day.
A few years ago in baseball,
I am the Hart Foundation. I am Bret Hart.
Foundation.
I am Bret Hart. I am Bret the Hitman Hart.
So a few years ago in baseball,
Je suis. Because he's Canadian.
He's got to say both.
Yeah. Je suis Bret Hart.
The t-shirt that just says I am and je suis. In a
mais
slash.
Le champion de ever was. The champion de ever will be. The champion de all time great.
Anyone who hears my voice is intimidated.
They're quacking their boots.
Quack away. You and get no respite from my fighting ways. My flying fist of power and my sharpshooter. When I apply the devastating figure four sharpshooter and pin you to the ground and force a submission.
No one stands a chance.
You are doomed.
Now you sound like Sacha Baron Cohen's character from Talladega Nights.
Yeah. Ricky Bobby, I want to wrestle you.
Just say that you like croissant. It's like a very small pancake.
I don't like it. No, I don't like it.
It's a very thin pancake.
Get away from
pancake.
Me. I don't like that crap. Get out of here. Sweet, sweet little tiny baby 4-pound Jesus. Get me out of here.
So years ago, professional baseball did not really
fake.
It was fake.
It's not fucking fake.
They didn't really actively go after people. Like if you jumped down on the field and you were just running across the field or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't release the fucking hounds to go
now
after
they
you.
Got fucking sharpshooters.
Yeah, now they come after you. Well, what happened is several years ago, somebody did that. They thought it wasn't a big deal. He was running towards the field, and ended up running at the third base coach and stabbing him. Cut him up real bad. And after that,
with a dirk.
Well, I believe there was a dirk involved. After that, pro baseball, you know, took a very hard line stance. And now, if you jump down on the field at a pro baseball game, you're gonna get tackled.
Yep.
Does pro wrestling do they have a similar type thing? Like if you jump the barricade at a wrestling match?
Well, I mean, it's sort of an understood thing anyway. You just don't. I mean, of course that shit.
But I'm asking what their reaction to it is. What's their response?
Well,
to it?
I mean, here's the thing.
I mean, this guy jumped somewhere and attacked somebody. So that's a different thing. But like if you just jump over,
it's different for every situation.
And go running.
Now, if you're dealing with the WWE, no way, right? They have pretty much every venue. They've got it secured. It's a clear barrier, and they do as much as any wrestling organization, which isn't always that much in regards to safety and that kind of thing. But you watch even this weekend.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other wrestling events going on because it's just one of those things where everybody and you watch some of those indie guys, they're setting up ladders that are just straight up hitting audience people in the head. the ladders are just falling over and people are just getting ganked.
Yeah.
And that's what are you going to do? So it's like, where's the line, right?
I think I'm wondering.
And
the line for me is somewhere before I get hit in the head with a ladder.
Okay, well, do you watch
2 inches away from?
I just want to establish Botchamania.
That is my line.
Do you watch Botchamania?
You've sent me stuff from it before.
So Botchamania is this really hilarious series you can find on YouTube. Some of it you have to dig for most of the rest of it because a lot of it gets taken down after a certain time. And all this stuff is getting hit with all these weird, intellectual property right hits. Anyway. There was a clip just a couple of months ago where they're at an indie promotion, and this wrestler, his gimmick is to be a hardcore heel, right? Just to be a total asshole.
Yeah.
Great.
So he's walking into the ring.
He's like, it's not a sport.
He's walking into the ring.
I'm not in a sport right now.
Right. He's walking into the ring, and he's just mouthing off to everybody.
Great.
Like, get out of here. You're a jerk. You're a loser, you know. The Rick Rude kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, show you pasty.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What did he call them? You pasty sweat hogs.
Lard asses.
A real man looks like, all this kind of thing. But he's walking in, and he gets near this little girl, and he's just like, nah. Spits out his gum and slaps the gum, and it just, like, flies towards this little kid, right? just ultimate heel.
That's disgusting.
So that gets you what we call heel heat. All right.
Great.
But you have to be careful because in the wrong context, heat can go nitro and then people want to really murder you.
Because it turns out that little girl has a dad.
If you smacked gum into my kid, I would be fucking furious.
Well, let me tell you, that was the reaction of the father of that child.
Yeah.
And so instantly.
Show of hands. Who doesn't understand this reaction?
He takes one more step down towards the ring. He's getting beaten by a father who just had gum thrown at his child and does not care for the kayfabe hilarity of what an asshole for hitting gum at my kid. It's like, you hit gum at my kid? Waggity whack whack. And it's
I'm completely on this guy's side.
Agreed.
I'm very much on the dad's side here.
Agreed. Yeah. But that's what I mean. Like, that's the line. And so, Jacob, it's real.
Oh, it got real, real quick for that guy.
The outcome of that fight was unknown.
True.
But that's the kind of thing, you know, and especially when you get into the indie circuit. Just shit gets crazy.
There's, you know, like when you look at like the Evil Knievel days and stuff like that, like
right.
You look back and you get a sense that like, well, that was a different time. Lawyers weren't involved, you know, and everything. And we remember in the 80s and the 90s, all of a sudden there was like 1,000 lawsuits. And
absolutely.
So like you're like, everything is regulated, everything is whatever. Mm-hmm. And then we now live in a time where you just think that's generally in place. Like we're post-lawsuit time. There still can't be, you know, magicians doing really dumb escape routines, right? They can't possibly still be doing that, right? We live in a time where, like, yeah. if you go to see a professional wrestling show, regardless of the tier,
yeah.
certainly no someone's in charge.
Hit me in the head.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they've done enough ladder matches where they know what they can and can't get away with.
You go there assuming that you're not going to get hit in the head with a ladder due to their gross negligence.
Yeah, and it's just not true.
No, nope. right? It's not human nature finds a way.
Even with when we talked to Brushwood about doing fire acts, you know, he talked about like whether you're going to eat fire, use a fire wallet or whatever in a show. He said you wait until the last possible moment before you have to tell someone you're going to do a fire act.
Right.
Because the more they have to think about it, the more they're just going to be like, no fire.
Yeah,
in my...
yeah, don't do fire.
So,
yeah.
but yeah, that's funny. I think... I wonder if that organization maybe kept a different deal. What do you think the reaction is there? So you have a meeting. Your heel smacks gum into a kid, and then the father beat you, right?
Right.
What do you adjust first? Do you say no more gum thing, or
no
do you say
more
like
gum into kids? That's it.
If it's me, or the first thing I do is I offer the dad a job.
Yeah. If the gum hits me, I don't think I fight. I just negotiate. Like, I would like my money back and some hot dogs.
Basically, right. Like, spit on a child. It's like, yeah. you know, yeah. yeah. Just don't spit on kids.
By the way, that is a great obnoxious move outside of wrestling.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, spit on a kid.
If I was absent, no. To smack spit on a kid.
I mean, yes, that is.
That's not what I was saying, everyone listening at home.
Well, it was Mr. Perfect's trademark.
Yeah, yeah.
He always come into the ring chewing gum, yeah. and then he'd spit it out and whack it midair.
Right.
In a very dismissive move.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know. But not at a kid.
No.
But.
Well, but it would just go flying.
Yeah, yeah.
I am sure Mr. Perfect hit a kid or two with his gum.
Not right. with the name Mr. Perfect. I bet he knew exactly where he was going every time.
He perfect. Knew what he meant. Yeah, it's perfect. The perfect
No, but I mean, like, in general, like, if I were to, like, just be chewing gum and be angry at someone, like, across a bar, to smack gum towards them would be pretty funny.
It's a good move.
Pow. If you do it the same, if you, you
I'm going to practice
it. You do it in the motion.
Into
that's
the ball.
Trick. Is like,
there you go.
Yeah. It's like spitting it out and then catching it. And then hitting it in the right direction.
Yeah, I guess, like, so again, you have to, like, think backwards then. So, like, any, like a good magic trick, you have to, like, wait, that means you have to practice that all the time.
Right.
So, like, it'd be funny to smack gum towards them, but if they would be like, did you practice that? You'd have to be like, yeah.
Yeah.
I have.
Gross.
That takes away from it.
Ew. You got some kind of gum wall where you just slap gum into it? Is that what you got?
You know, it didn't start out as a gum wall.
At amusement parks.
What do you mean you have lunch? We promised this was my gum practice time. I was going to practice gumming. No, I can't smack gum for the next hour because you made plans.
I made plans.
Well, I thought we have a calendar for a reason.
Well, we also have gum for a reason. It's not for smacking. Did you ever see those at different amusement parks, the gum walls?
Oh yes. Yeah,
the build up to the lines. Like at Kings Island, was a lot of trees.
Just nasty.
It's so gross.
I hate the gum stuff.
Oh yeah,
that's why Disneyland Disney properties don't sell gum. On property.
Do they ban gum?
No. If you bring gum in, then fine. But they don't sell it.
Sure.
Yeah.
They beat you like they beat the guy who
yeah.
jumped in the ring for Brett.
Don't,
for
you joke, but the dark underground of the Disney.
The mouse.
Oh, yeah. They will get you.
Ha ha. You thought it was pretty funny bringing the gum in here, huh? Why don't you chew on this curb?
It's just some free dent.
Yeah.
Free dent's the one that took the stick out of gum. And free dent moistens your mouth. Uh-huh. Yeah, moistens your mouth and freshens your breath while you chew.
Well, see how this curb freshens your breath.
Oh, God. My dentures, my expensive dentures. That's why I chew free dent. You understand?
Now I do.
Well, too late now, you Sorry. Asshole.
Wipe up your... Tie up your jaw and wipe up your blood. Get out of here.
God damn it. Can I at least keep
my
free
dent? I'll see you back at
the Kissimmee Hotel. Give me back. I had 3 sticks of free dent left.
Oh, I don't have that. I threw out the gum.
What? You know, where was the last time you saw somebody selling free dent?
Yeah, we threw it out.
Seriously. Oh, you asshole. You're chewing it. You like it, don't you?
Oh, it's fucking good, yeah.
Yeah, right. It's free dent.
It took the stick
Freedent's
out of gum.
It took the stick out of gum. And free dent moistens your mouth. Yeah, it moistens your mouth while you chew and freshens your breath.
Steve, what have I told you about taking the guest gum?
I'm sorry.
God damn it, Steve.
Steve!
Oh, I'm the guy who wears the Mickey Mouse outfit. I'm Steve.
Oh, yeah. Took my freedom and broke my kayfabe. Yeah. You son of a bitch.
It's not a sport.
It is a sport. I'm bleeding. Oh, freedom.
Freedom probably wouldn't stick on a wall. It took the stick out of gum.
We were doing the set. We were doing the improv.
This is the third longest conversation I've had about freedom today.
The third longest today.
Do you remember that song? That was the whole song.
Go ahead.
Freedom's the one that took the stick out of gum. Stick out of gum. And freedom moistens your mouth. Yeah, moistens your mouth. And freshens your breath while you chew. Do-do-do-do.
I'm bothered by it. Because when I hear stick out of gum, at first I think of like an actual stick, like a lollipop stick.
Or a
like a wooden stick, where I'm like, there was never a wooden stick in gum.
I didn't get it for a long time. Yeah. And then I finally figured out, oh, it's a double entendre.
Go ahead.
A stick of gum.
Yeah.
We took the stick out of gum.
Yeah.
So it's a stick of gum, but it has no stick. It doesn't adhere.
I don't think.
Don't say ooh over there like he just like he just dawned on something.
But that's what it is. That's what it is. It's a double entendre. We took the stick out of gum. Would you like a stick of gum? I would, but I can't. Dentures.
I will argue. Like you argued that wrestling is a sport. I will argue that it's still single entendre. They were just talking about the stickiness of gum.
They were
the whole
talking
time.
About. Would you like a stick of gum?
But it's also a gum. Like it is a stick of gum, though.
Right.
So they didn't, take the stick out of gum.
That's their thing, though. They did take the stick out of gum.
No.
Even though it's a stick of gum.
Then that makes it single entendre. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I would call no further witnesses.
Guys, I'm not going to talk about this for more than 10 more minutes.
Put the clock out. Let's go. All right. Freedom.
I'm about to play the foghorn of moving on.
That'd be hilarious. Have we not gotten a sand timer yet?
We should really get a sand timer in the studio.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, how many people hate when we talk about wrestling? Like, we should have sand timered that.
The end of it, foghorn.
It's real. Well, let's try and find some freedom.
I remember we were doing set, and I brought up just hosting set, like how much I thought, like, just I hate when I find gum under a seat,
right?
Sure.
Or like whatever, even dried gum. If I see like a gum wall,
yeah.
I go like, who? I've never done that. Who does that?
Who right. was raised
and someone
in such
we
a
did
barn.
Improv with was like, I've put gum under a seat. And it literally changed the way I felt about them forever. Like I wish it was a small thing, but whenever that name comes up, it's like the first thing I think about.
Right?
And I respect them less.
Yeah?
I was like, you're one of these people.
You're one of the problems.
We have freeze spray at Absinthe. We freeze the gum. When people stick it under a chair, we freeze the gum.
Is it freeze sprays or just canned air?
Paul. Paul's a robot. I'm sorry you guys had to find out now. It was the first time we've let an error go on the air.
Control alt delete.
Power down.
I was just learning how to love.
Time to die.
Oh. No, it looks like the canned air. Huh? But it looks like the canned air, but it's made to just spray that stuff out and freeze it.
Because canned air will do that.
Yeah, it just takes to turn it upside down. Yeah. Well, you turn it upside down and spray it. Yeah. But this stuff just sprays that out. And it's made to.
Okay.
It's free spray.
Is it like liquid nitrogen?
It's something like that, yeah.
Yeah, and then it freezes the gum.
Yeah, it hardens it up and
still
freezes it.
Freezes the gum that puts the stick out of the gum.
No. I mean, our ushers still have to deal with it, and it's unpleasant.
Yeah.
But it moistens their mouth.
If I was chiseling frozen gum off the bottom of the chair and I saw a little kid, I'd smack it at the kid.
Chisel with one hand, smack with the other. And then their dad comes and beats you in the head.
I still have so many questions about the guy who tackled Britt Manhart that are going to come out.
Britt Manhart?
Britt Manhart.
Britt Manhart.
Britt Manhart. Britt Manhart.
Well, lucky for you.
I'm Britt Manhart.
Well, he was the brother-in-law to Davey Boy Smith.
There you go.
The British Bulldog.
Yes.
Who died. I knew
that was that one of your questions?
Yep.
Okay.
Anyways, the guy's wearing a fake Rasta hat.
Yeah.
So like,
I actually got him. He's in the back room right now. Let me just pull him out here. His name is Zachary Madsen.
Wait. Okay.
So his name is
the
name
offender
is Zach.
Has been named.
Yeah, it's right here in the story.
This is awful. Don't give time to that motherfucker.
Was it personal beef?
Who knows?
Or was he just
but let's ask him. Well, he's right over here. Okay. Zach, come on in. Come on in, Zach.
Hey. How's everybody?
we took off your fake Rasta. You don't have to talk like
no,
that.
No, the hat not part of it. That's just an extraordinary external example.
Oh, it's like a double entendre.
Yeah, sorta.
Like Trident gum.
I had to make an example of Bretta Itman art.
Why'd you do that, Zach?
Bretta Itman art. He say, oh, I'm the best ever is, was, will be. What yeah. I want say, Bretta Itman art, you ain't no better than Jah, no. Jah the best. Jah number one, ups to Jah. And I say, ooh, not I reclaim to be better than Jah. And you're not Bretta Itman art.
Now, Zach Woodson, was it? Zach, did you feel like maybe the way
come
you were,
with it now? What
were you the way you were beaten out of the ring? Was
oh,
that
unfair?
Oh, you thought that was excessive?
Unfair! I was in there only a second, and they beat me like I was in there for like 10 minutes.
Well, you were in there for enough to tackle someone's daughter.
I tackled Bretta Itman art, and then Yimni Anvil Nine Heart, his daughter, she be there. I know. Expect her there. I know plan. It not much planning.
But you could see her there.
Oh, trust in Jah. I knew she there. I say, okay, I do anyway, and I work okay.
So did you do what you wanted to do, or was there more than you wanted to do?
What I want to do, make an example, Bretta Itman art. You know better than Jah.
He's no better than Jah.
Who's Jah?
Jah's another wrestler, right?
Jah, the Lord above.
Oh, I thought you meant Jah Rule.
No. I'm not talking fire festival.
Do you think you'll sue, Zach? Do you think you'll sue the WWE?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to get a big sediment.
Big cinnabon?
Big sediment.
They'll probably give you that.
They come with a big sediment and they bring a bucket of money or to Zach's house. And they say, hey, you want sediment? I say, okay, I keep it out the carts. I keep your name out the carts with a sediment.
All right, so if you're listening, Vince WWE. McMahon, he would like a cinnabon on mm-hmm. a cart with a bucket of honey to pour on the cinnabon.
Yes, that's all he wants.
Hey.
Thank you for coming by, Zach.
Thank you.
Jah, big ups to Jah.
Why don't we do a little scoop mail?
A respect.
Zach, please go. We're going to beat you out of this room.
You got a red stripe. Got use a beer.
Hooray, beer.
Got a real big face hurt from where they got beaten on me.
That was a successful campaign, yeah?
Hooray, beer?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Red stripe.
That went well. Yeah.
Yeah, that brought Richard back for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And put it, and now it's gone
it's
again.
It's always right. In season so good. Around
I like
Christmas.
Red Stripe's a good beer.
People like it at Christmas time.
We got an email here from Secret Asshole Scoop.
What?
We have an email here from Secret Asshole Scoop.
I already have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
One, because you have secret. Two assholes and one of them is a secret.
I was like, a secret asshole. I guess your mouth could be a secret asshole.
Is he right? Listening?
Is that technically right?
Well, it's a person-by-person basis. For mine, yes.
For mine, sometimes. Hello, Friendship Scoops. My first real job was as a secretary. I was surrounded by haggish women who regularly sexually harassed me. I was called a kiss-ass in front of customers. I was told that I would never go anywhere on a regular basis. I was also reamed out by other departments because my coworkers were rude to them, and I was lucky enough to answer the call. Did I mention I had my lunch stolen 4 times? I dealt with this bullshit for 2 straight years because I needed the money and saw an opportunity elsewhere in the company. Sometimes I don't know how I lived through it, but I know how I coped. I can be one hell of a passive-aggressive fuckface asshole troll. All I convinced my kiss-ass calling coworker that something was wrong with her chair. Every day she'd leave at 3 p.m., I would leave at 5 p.m. Every night as I closed up, I'd lower one arm of her chair. I did this every single fucking day for 13 months until she had a complete meltdown in front of my boss and was written up. The haggish woman?
Holy shit!
That's brilliant.
Man, that dedication, Evan, it pays off. That's amazing.
Long con. Yeah. Commitment.
It's like Jim and Dwight on The Office. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, it's great. The haggish woman, I would regularly and stealthily leave Weight Watchers stank-ass farts inducing cookie bars in the lunchroom for them.
Oh, so he leaves those bars out that give people dumb farts.
I guess so, yeah.
He wanted to make his office fart.
They would gobble these poot tootie squares up and be gassy as fuck all afternoon. Because, whoa, poot tootie, bam, lamb. Because diet chocolate cookie bars are known to be filled with gassy goodness. Ugh, I don't know why I'm so bloated. Hags 1 and 2. My lunches? I got real comfortable with the flavor of ghost peppers in my drinks and sandwiches. The lunch stealing stopped. The woman that regularly told me I would die there, I slowly relabeled many of the forms sitting on the shelves above me. I would listen to her argue with the print shop about not having enough pink pearl consults, ocean blue sheets, and triple stack com forms. The print shop guys thought that she was a moron for asking for forms they had never heard of. These are just a handful of things that I did to amuse myself. Oh, so he relabeled the forms in there to make her then call the print shop and ask for those forms. That's really funny.
This is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, deep cuts.
I did all this while kicking ass and taking names for customers. What do I do now? I was promoted to the position of senior corporate trainer, and I get to facilitate technical and non-technical training. It's a fantastic job, and the best part is I get to teach new employees how to use our systems, as well as teaching the value of inclusivity and empathy, not just for customers, but for each other. Do you know what the best part is? It's not that I rose above that shit and now make more money than those awful people will ever see. It's because I outlasted them. One was asked to leave because she was committing time fraud. She was asked to leave. One was asked to leave because of her toxic behavior. One left because she fucked a male secretary and did it very badly for all parties. And the last one was promoted and then let go because she couldn't handle the added stress. Karma may be a mega bitch. I hope that you are partially entertained by my terrible story. Love you guys. P.S. Thank you for introducing Penn Sunday School and Pod Therapy. I think my podcast palette is finally sated. Crazy ass comedy, use guys, thoughtful magic comedy, Sunday School, self-awareness, Pod Therapy, pro wrestling, Jim Cornette, and video games, Player One Podcast.
Oh, yes.
Woo!
Nice.
And that is the Secret Asshole Scoop.
Thank you, Secret Asshole Scoop. Yeah. That's and that tied in directly to what we were talking about earlier.
Totally. And the labeling of mislabeling of forms that they complained.
Yeah.
From Q, that's a real boomerang. That's a real.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
That's funny. That is really funny.
It's excellent.
We got one here from Bear Scoop. Hi, Matt, Paul, and Jacob.
Now, is it Bear Scoop like he's a physical bear, or does he have a secret asshole?
Naked.
Does he have a second asshole? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
You can only see it when he's there.
I heard the call for more shitty job stories, and although I sent these in previously and they may not have made the cut, I figured I would send them in again to see if they tickle your fancy. Good. That
good.
Means that,
stay determined.
That means that we have these stories also in the backlog, so later on when I'm going through the backlog, we're going to hear these stories again.
And we're
going
to say, did we hear some before? We're gonna like,
I don't know. I didn't read this email before. It was definitely new. I don't know. Story number one. So you have no arms, huh? When I was working as a supervisor for a software company, that's the title of the story. It's in bold and everything.
You have no arms, huh?
So you had no arms, huh? When I was working as a supervisor for a software company, the customer service department, my job primarily consisted of answering upwards of 25 to 50 calls a day from pissed off entitled realtors and navigating our internal complex license management system while taking detailed notes of each call. In addition to this, I also hired new reps as required, and as such one day, I had an interview with a prospective candidate that my boss had set up. As an aside, my boss was probably, was and probably still is planning on receiving a call from Lucasfilms to be a stand-in for Jabba the Hutt, as he was as useless, fat, and slobbery as Jabba.
Sick burn!
Stay down. Stay down, that boss.
Don't
interview time comes.
Crime. Thanks for the Weight Watchers bar. Why am
so bloody.
Interview time comes, and we walk to the reception to greet the interviewee. She was standing near reception wearing a full-length coat, and when I opened the door, I greeted and thanked her for coming in. As such is custom, I held out my hand to shake hers, to which she responded with, "I have no arms." She wasn't just missing her hands, but literally had no arms except for small appendages from her shoulders. Well, okay, so be it. But I thought to myself, how in the world was she going to be able to answer the required 25 to 30 phone calls, type up notes, and perform all of the other necessary required duties of the job? We moved forward from that awkward introduction, and I could tell my boss was already sweating awkward bullets. Once in the interview room, I treated her like any other candidate, but my boss, however, was another story. As we proceeded with the usual questions, my boss asked her how she would answer the phone, to which she replied, "Well, I can dial and pick up the phone with my feet, so the phone would just need to be put on the floor." Fair enough. And we finished out the interview. This is where I'm surprised we weren't sued. As my boss went to get up from the chair, he loudly knocked over an office phone which had been placed on the floor previously for some reason. Now, if this was all he did, it would have been fine. But in one of his finer moments, as our armless candidate was picking up her coat partially with her feet, he exclaimed, "Oh, geez, who would put the phone on the floor?" Needless to say, the candidate wasn't hired, and we did not receive any letters of litigation. Story number two.
Well, here's the thing on that. Like, we talked about this off air, but like,
yeah,
you know, like
answering phone calls with our feet.
Yeah, it's all we talked about off air. And my other asshole, my mouth. So,
it's a secret.
But like, yes, you can litigate, and yes, you can do that. But it would take so much time and so much effort.
Right.
And like, no matter how much you think there's a system to like write things, like people who are just dicks can get away with things for such a long time.
Yeah. Right.
And it takes a lot of effort to try to get those letters written and to get people.
I'm sure she is swamped with suing companies that make sleeves.
Yeah.
All day. That's an all day affair. Like, "Dear Sears, well, you've done it again. Yet another wish book filled to bursting with garments fully sleeved. Have you no consideration?"
Fuck you, Sears.
Them sleeves, though.
Come see the softer side of Sears.
My butt.
We'll see.
Story number two. There's porn in my computer.
Okay.
One of my former jobs was as a tech support for a software company. which primarily sold contact management software to realtors. A particular call came in one day from a lady who was quite upset with us as she had discovered porn on her computer and accused our program of putting it there.
Egad. Yeah, I'm going to be like, "Lady, first of all, you married, girl? You got a husband?"
You got a teenager that has access to your computer?
He put that shit there and blamed it on the computer.
Do you have a smart monkey?
Smart, horny monkey.
A smorky.
There it is. Smorky. I managed to calm her down and had her explain to me exactly what she meant. She told me that while using our program, she was able to pull up a file which had a list of prostitute names, acts they performed, prices, and how long it would take to get to her house. Now, I had been with this company a few years by this time.
What program is this?
let's see. Hookers to you.
Movers to you.
Hookers to you.
Hookers to you.
I've seen cards for that on the Las Vegas Strip.
Oh, yeah.
Hookers to you. And hookers to you, sir.
Now, I had been with this company a few years by this time.
And the rest of the brothel to you, sir.
Oh, thank you.
And I was pretty sure that we didn't sell software like this, as I'd be first in line to get my copy. So I had her walk me through what she was doing to see this information. As it turns out, she was merely using a file open command within our program to access an existing text file that was already on her computer. When I showed her that this file wasn't a part of our software and the file had already existed on her computer, there was a slight pause followed by, "Oh, That's probably my son's then. Thanks. And she hung up.
My Morky.
My Morky is my son.
I have a Morky for a son.
Smorky, get
my
in
Smorky.
Here.
Smorky, when I first named you.
Uh-huh.
I first named you Smart Horny Monkey.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think you'd disappoint me this bad. Get that banana out of your mouth. That's okay. Your secret, asshole.
Story number three. Glitter Gulch and the Cokes.
Did you invite this prostitute over here and tear off her face?
Uh-huh.
Oh, damn it. I thought it was the program that did that.
You give a lot of credit to those computer programs.
This computer program has stolen all of my firearms and jewelry from my house.
And has sold them in exchange for meth.
Damn you, Internet.
On an ICS episode, you guys were talking about Glitter Gulch. So I figured I'd write in with a short story about my experience going to this strip club back in 2002.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Adzooks.
Yeah, it's gone now. I walked down there the other day, and the building is completely gone now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've fully demoed
it
now.
It's a dark time for Fremont.
Stolen by a computer program.
By a schmorky.
I was running your program, and now Glitter Culture's gone.
Lady, that ain't our fault.
My friend and I went to Vegas primarily, this is in 2002, my friend and I went to Vegas primarily to drive up to Area 51, which we did, and it was pretty awesome, but he also said we should go to this famous, in big quotes, strip club called Glitter Gulch.
The Gulch Abides.
Sure, well, what the hell, I thought, even though as big a fan of boobies as I was, and still am, I was
glad we went.
So am I, because the people that he saw in 2002 were definitely the same people we saw.
Yep. They're the same people there in 2016.
And you went there in 1992, and you went there in 1982.
I love this sentence. Sure, what the hell, I thought, even though I'm not, I am as big a fan of boobies as I was, and I still am, I never was really that into going to strip clubs.
You're not a strip club guy.
Not a strip club guy.
And everyone else there was.
Certainly. We arrived at probably 9 or 10 p.m., and upon entering, I wasn't exactly blown away by the layout nor the quality of the girls that were there.
The layout was a horseshoe.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
The whole club was just a U.
Right.
That you were walking into, and you go all the way around, and you walk right back out.
See, what that was a double entendre.
They took the stick out of Fremont Street.
Yeah. But we were there.
And they moisten your mouth and freshen your breath while you chew.
But we were there, and the plan that my friend had was that we were going to get lap dances. We took a seat at one of the booths, and a waitress came over and asked what we wanted.
I'm not a fan of lap dances. I get that part.
Sure. Great.
I'm not one of those people, but I get it.
You understand that those people exist. We replied that we really just wanted to get a couple of lap dances, and she responded that there was a 3-drink minimum before we could do that.
Jesus Christ.
Before you could...
You had to drink 3 beers before I could rub on you.
We don't mind giving lap dances, we just hate men getting hard. So 3 whiskeys, we want to take your ability to get hard out of the equation.
I got news for you, Bear Scoop. That waitress was lying to you.
I'm going to drink hard-ass booze until you can't get hard.
Hard-ass booze. Only your ass can get hard.
Yeah.
Rub that ass.
Without missing a beat, we turned and looked at each other and then looked back at the waitress and said, "Bring us 6 Cokes." Once she came back with our 6 Cokes.
And that was $50.
It was as if a bright neon sign was turned on over our booth that said, "Lap dances required." Almost immediately, 2 strippers came over to sit with us. The one sitting with
me. This also sounds like my trip to the Glitter Gulch.
This is how it works.
Yeah. This is every trip to the Glitter Gulch.
Yeah.
No one had a good trip to the Glitter Gulch.
No.
I don't understand why.
That's not true. I had good trips to the Glitter Gulch.
Why the pretense of selling and buying drinks? Can't we cut that part out? You want to buy me a drink? Those strippers aren't drinking all those drinks all night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
I don't know. I'm not really a strip club guy.
Okay, Jacob. Okay. Pull the other one. It's made of free dip.
Almost immediately, 2 strippers came over to sit with us. The one sitting with me was like a lukewarm apple pie. Not great, but good enough.
I'm not going to... Let's not keep using the pie scale. to describe strippers.
Her filling was fairly gelatinous. And, you know, it had cooled.
Oh, but that graham cracker crust.
Bang. Yeah, she had a good crust. Flaky. But
tin.
But the gelatinous filling had cooled.
However, my friend ended up with a stripper who, as they were talking, and it came out that he was 24, replied with, "Oh, I have a son that's that age." Trailing off as she finished the sentence, I think realizing what she was saying. So, yeah, my friend got a lap dance from a stripper that could have been his mom.
My son is 24 because of science. I had a 10-year-old.
He can come over and play some video games with him. He'd like that.
At 8 years old, I donated my eggs and created my son. I don't know.
You two should come over. You would get it. You and my son would hit it off. You're a dead ringer for him.
Fucking you in the face. That's a bear scoop.
Will you be my son?
I came in here looking for a lap dance, and I left with a mother. The Gulch abides.
The Gulch abides.
It was beautiful. When he asked me to rub it like I thought I would catch it on fire, I thought, what a sassy young man.
Just then like my son.
I looked past that sass. And I saw a heart of gold.
I believe,
and he's now my son.
The management style of Glitter Gulch was very libertarian. I think it was very much like, if you want access, you got it.
Right.
And if you want to keep it, you got to fight for it.
It was no holds barred stripping.
Yes. And
I was in there one time, and a guy in a Rasta hat jumped in and just beat me.
There is no sense that they hired or
I
fired
done
anyone.
I bought three cooks. I want what's coming me. Hey. I know what I deserve.
Ja.
And I know what I need. Ja. Ja provide. Hey.
Let's not do a little Jack versus Nerd.
Somebody play that Informer song by Snow. That's how I like to get my dick rub. To Informer. Licky boom boom down right now. Six. I done bought six cokes. How much more I got to do? Bread to eat man art. Get out here. What you doing?
Explosion.
We can't hear it.
We got a Jock versus Nerd coming to us
minute.
Today.
That whole bit of gold was over the song.
Uh-huh.
That's going to sound like shit.
I know the format of the show. I didn't talk during the theme song. I know what happens after Jacob says it's time for Jack versus Nerd.
I play some music.
Oh, I don't have my cans on. Forget it.
Everybody else knew what I did.
I don't know where I was. I was transported to the Gulch.
Dearest men of the churn.
I still got Gulch brain.
I was really?
Got Gulch brain. Gulch brain. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, you got to take a stand. It don't help to hide.
That's some old Hulk Hogan shit.
As you may know, President's Day is nearly upon us. So this is Jock versus Nerd from the past.
Okay, great.
Sure.
The next President's Day will come up at some point.
We agree.
Yes. Now, part of the requirement to be president is to be a natural-born citizen, which is generally taken to mean born in the USA. Sorry, Ted Cruz. So, I offer you the real American challenge. The following is a list of 10 people. Tell me whether or not they were born in the United States. You get 1 point for that. If they were not born in the USA, you get one additional point for correctly guessing the country in which they were born. Alternate questions or all-play questions, however Jacob wants to do it. In the case of a tie, Jacob wins.
Okay.
We might have done this before. Have we done this one before?
We were getting it before.
That sure sounds familiar.
Look at that.
Oliver Hardy. Where
Wasn't
was Oliver Hardy?
Where I started reading about the presidents?
I think so.
Maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. All right, fine. I'll find another one.
It's also funny that it's not like we would do better.
No. I would still be no, just no, as dumbfounded. Just be,
it's like when the teachers be real slick and made the quiz into the test. Mm-hmm. Right? And they get the quiz to prep for the test. The quiz is the test. It not only matters more, but you already took it.
What?
Did you focus on your mistakes? Learn.
Oh, my God.
I didn't learn.
Teacher, you have taught me how to learn.
All right, Paul, it's quiet now. Go over that bit again.
Hey, well, I'm looking for Chanuit. I got 10 drink on me counter. Chanuit I need. I need Robin. A Robin around the zone. Come down now. Bring it. Bring that licky spot down. Right, yar. Get it wiggling. Get that to wiggling. How much more coke you need me buy? How much more soda before you go to the rub down zone?
All right, we got one here from Chris Baggett.
Who?
Chris Baggett.
Okay.
That's Chris the Micro Scoop.
Right.
Sorry, I'm curious if you guys know.
One secret.
That's an asshole. I'm curious to know if you guys know the titles of your past episodes. Can you pick out the episode titles of ICS versus the episode titles of Geek Shock?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh.
Here I present Shock or Scoop.
I might be able to get some old Geek Shock ones.
This might be fair only because
I
write the episode titles, so I'm usually having an advantage of this.
And I often inspire the old Geek Shock titles.
Okay.
So each of these are episode titles. They're from either an episode of Geek Shock or from Ice Cream Social. 1 point for each correct answer. An extra point for who guesses closest to the episode number. 10 points if you guess the actual number.
So we have to guess if it's an Ice Cream Social or Geek Shock title.
And then what number episode it was.
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Well, no bonus points will be awarded.
No. All right. Crapunzel.
That's ICS.
Paul, what do you think?
I think it's Geek Shock.
Point for Matt.
Whoa, was it?
That's an ICS episode.
Crapunzel on ICS?
Yeah.
And what episode number was that, Matt?
Oh, that was episode 68.
So no bonus points there. That's episode 194.
Yeah, so I have no idea.
Klutz and Sluts. Paul.
Oh, that's Geek Shock.
Matt.
I think that's also Geek Shock.
It is Geek Shock. Point for each of you.
That was Andy.
What episode title? Or what episode number?
Episode number?
Like it should be like within 50.
380. He said you get an extra point. He said extra point for whoever gets closest to the number.
Oh, wait, 380.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I don't even know how many episodes of Geek Shock there are, so I'm going to guess 370.
Matt gets a point. It was 325.
Ah, damn.
Now, let's see. Snatch, Crackle, and Pop. Matt.
That's tough. I'm going to go with Geek Shock.
Okay, Paul?
He was Geek Shock.
Both correct.
Okay.
What number?
Oh, Matt. 312.
Okay, Paul.
400.
Point to Matt. 334.
I don't even know how many episodes they
have. The Hoarding Mermaid. I think we're at Paul going first this time. Paul.
The Hoarding Mermaid.
Into the mic, Paul.
The Hoarding Mermaid.
That's right. Paul had a microphone sitting in his lap.
The Hoarding Mermaid. I'll go with Ice Cream Social.
Okay, Matt?
I'm going to go with Geek Shock.
Point for Paul.
Aha. You even wrote the title.
I know. I don't remember the Hoarding
Mermaid. I don't remember
it
either.
Well, what episode number was that, Paul?
199.
Oh, I thought you were going to say it. 119.
Oh, no.
119. Let's see. Edward James Almost. Edward James Almost.
I'm going to go with Geek Shock.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's Geek Shock.
It is Geek Shock, although that's an excellent ICS title.
Yeah,
it is. That's exactly what I went through. I was like, oh, that's a good one. I would have remembered writing that if that was a good one.
What number?
Oh, 14.
Okay. Paul.
300.
A 364.
Okay.
Point to Paul.
That's what I was going to guess next.
A jerk nap. Jerk nap.
That's ICS.
I know. I was just calling Paul a jerk nap. Sorry. The next episode title is Prison Toilet Sour Cream.
Prison Toilet Sour Cream.
Yep. Prison Toilet Sour Cream.
Man, we've done a lot of prison toilet bits, so I feel like that's up our alley.
That might be us.
I'm going to go with ICS.
We've done a lot of prison toilet bits. We've done a lot of sour cream bits.
Yeah, that seems like it's certainly in our wheelhouse.
I can't remember if we did that on this one or Geek Shock yet. I'm going to go Ice Cream Social.
Ice Cream Social it is. Woo, what number?
Okay. Oh, good. I'm going to go with 212.
Okay, Paul?
I'll say 300.
Point for Paul, 341.
Yay.
And tickling the bear. Tickling the bear.
I think it's ICS.
I think so, too.
Okay. It is from Geek Shock.
Oh, shit.
What number?
200.
201.
Point to Matt. 419. 419.
Gamesmanship.
Shameless plug. Come check out the Who Scoops podcast to hear stories told by the Scoops for the Scoops.
Boo.
And that's from Chris the Micro Scoop. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris, so much for writing that in.
Yeah, don't forget, after you hear the last episode, you're definitely going to want to listen to hear some more Gene McFeeters.
Oh,
on
yeah, yeah.
Who Scoops.
Gene McFeeters was interviewed on the Who Scoops podcast. She does not go into her novels on that podcast.
No. Save that gold for us.
Gene, I only want you to talk about your novels on our show.
That's right.
I want to thank Pendulette for creating this podcast.
Yeah. You want me to play the Jock vs. Nerd music over this?
Yeah, go for it.
You want to talk over the Jock vs. Nerd music?
Yeah. I want to thank all people who support us on our Patreon.
Absolutely.
Account.
I want to tink jaw.
I want to thank all the people who paid for their tickets to the Pittsburgh Churnout.
Absolutely. Yes. Thank you for...
Which brought us to where we are right now.
Thank you for everyone who set up the Churnout. Thank you for everyone who pre-bought tickets. Thank you for everyone who came. It was a whole lot of fun.
And if you want to set up a Churnout in your neighborhood, we just need... Malia and Luke can testify. We just need some boots on the ground to help us out. But
yep.
How was your experience running the old Pittsburgh Churnout?
About as easy as you could ask for.
There you go, guys.
Look at that.
Well, we really want is we want you to set up a venue, and then we'll show up, and we'll be in contact with you and everything. We'll show up. We'll do our thing. We'll hang out, party. We'll do all of it.
And we don't do it on Indiegogo or anything like that. No one has to get an LLC or anything like that anymore. We eliminated that by putting it all on the Hey Scoops website.
Yep.
We just need someone who knows where we're going and where we can go yep. when we get there.
That's it. And we'll pre-sell the tickets on our website, and we do it just like you would do it on Indiegogo. Which is you buy the tickets on our website. Nobody gets charged for them until enough tickets get sold.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
And
this was really
and we
successful and super fun. We had a great time.
I also want to thank everyone who's a listener and a subscriber. Thanks so much for spending time in your week listening to us. It means a lot to us.
It sure does.
If you want to review us on iTunes, go for it.
Five stars.
If you don't want to review it on iTunes, I get it. You have other things to do with your time.
2 stars.
And if you want to go on social media, I'm so tired.
If you want like to tell to somebody
help us
else
grow,
about it,
there is our obelisk scheme.
It's not a pyramid scheme.
Not a pyramid scheme. There is a tiny pyramid up on top. We don't talk about that.
Shut the fuck up.
So just tell one person
smack
only,
my gum at you.
One person who you think would really enjoy this bullshit and be like, this is perfect for this goofball friend of mine. And that's how we get them. One at a time.
That's
it
how
really
we do
is
it.
The best way for us to spread our preaching fun.
Yep. And yeah, if you want to check us out at all, you can head over to heyscoops.com. You can see our episodes on there. You can see the shop on there. You can get yourself some Scoop swag. Also, if you want to help us out, you can go over to preachingfun.com and join us there on Patreon. We have some fun stuff on there. But thank you so much to the people who already work with us on Patreon. You guys make it possible for us to do this.
Yes.
You really do. So if you want to help us out, head over to preachingfun.com. There's some really cool stuff on there. You can be part of the sticker club. You can get some prints. There's some new stuff that's going to be coming out on there very shortly. So be on the lookout for that. And until next time.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon.
Don't steal anyone's lunches.
I've got a secret butthole. It's a secret and it's a butthole. It is. My secret butthole.
Bret Hart singing that song. I'm going to tackle you in your secret butthole.
My secret butthole.
Stay down. Bret Hart.
I'm going to tackle you so that your niece ends up in your secret butthole.
My secret butthole.
Natalia going to slide right up in your secret butthole when I tackle you. Oh, that's why the live feed went out.
Ooh. Sacre bleu.
Natalia Neidhart.
See ya!